Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into another Friday on the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and we're here to help you empower your life through choice. I'm so happy and excited that I get to have an encore feature with our new Transformation Talk Show radio host, Dr. Kate Steiner, who just talked to you about recovering from burnout. Today, we are going to extend that conversation and help you back away from burnout and start to recognize some signs of getting there before you're actually there, so that you can use choice in your life to create freedom, create a stress-free life, and work in an environment that actually feeds you rather than takes away from you. Dr. Kate is a burnout recovery coach, a founder of Lift Wellness, and she has done her PhD work on the effects of recovery on the body. She'll jump into that a little bit later in our show. But let me welcome you in. Congratulations on your inaugural show at 1 o'clock on the second and fourth Friday of every month. Welcome in. So glad we can extend this conversation out, because I think it's very, very important to everybody in the world.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to extend the conversation and to be here with you to do that. So.
Right. And, you know, let's just make sure that this audience here gets a quick shot of what your story is. Why is burnout so important to you? Why did you do doctoral work in it? And start us off with the one thing that you realized as you were doing your doctoral work that put you into this coaching / podcasting space.
Yeah. So I think the piece that kind of had launched me into, you know, the coaching space and the podcasting space and those kind of things was actually came this past year, which was a couple of years after I finished my dissertation and warm work and you know, thankfully to the pandemic and being, you know, sent to work from home for a little while, I had some space to just kind of look back at things and rediscover my dissertation and the model I developed with that work and really looked at it and was like, huh, you know, this makes a lot of sense as far as a change process for possibly individual coaching, and realized that it was something that more people need to hear. So, and that was something that my dissertation committee told me when I defended my dissertation and whatnot. They're like, don't let this sit on a shelf, do something with it. You need to do something with it. And I let it sit on a shelf for a couple of years, but I got around back to it. So they can be proud of me that I am doing something with it. And it started with the coaching space and then, you know, wanting to help more people, and helping more people means that I need to be more visible and more people need to hear about it. And so that started with being guests on other people's shows. And then I realized that I wanted to tell my own story. And so starting my own podcast made the most sense. And I'm just so excited that the support of, you know, the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group is there, and that I'm able to be a part of Transformation Talk Radio now to do that.
Well, and I'm so glad that even though it sat on a shelf for a little while, I'm so glad that you dusted it off, because I think for a lot of people, like you said in your previous show, a lot of people think, I can handle this, I can get through it, it's not that big of a deal, everybody stresses out. But I think what we don't realize is how that those feelings and then ultimately the chemicals in our body aggregate over time. Mm-hmm. And if we really truly don't find a way to reset and to rejuvenate, I would imagine, and perhaps you can speak to this, that it actually accumulates in the body, in the soul, in the energetic field, in the physical realm. And each time we kind of touch that burnout space, I would imagine it actually gets worse. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. So I talk about it in almost like a snowball effect. And when we don't give ourselves the time and space to recover, as we continue to encounter burn event after burn event, then it builds up in the body, and it you know, it's toxic, really. Right. And it can cause a lot of physical ailments. It can cause, you know, emotional stress. It can, if you are someone who struggles with depression, it can impact you in greater ways with anxiety and depression and those kinds of things. So yeah, so it's definitely something that just can build up and culminate into, you know, a place that you don't want to be.
Right. And just, I was listening to your first show, and one of the things that you really highlighted is one of the steps for people to start backing away from recovery is, first of all, to understand what's missing. Mm-hmm. Second of all, to create some space and allow themselves to step back. But I heard you also say talking that it's really important to create intentional recovery moments or spaces. And choice is one word on my wall that's crazy important to me. You and I bonded over that off air. Yeah. And then the courage to do something different or to step away from something is also very important to me. So one of the things I want to share with my listeners, and I always do this in my show, is that nature is my way mm-hmm. of intentionally resetting. Yeah. And I have, you know, I've said, you know, I don't know that anybody retains a stressful state when they stay in nature for a while. You might be stressed mm-hmm. when you come in, but for me, when I'm on or near the water, and I know Jacob's got some photos yeah. he's going to roll for our viewing audience, when I'm on or near the water, I feel like my soul is refreshed. Mm-hmm. But when I go to the desert, there's something for me magical that happens that I feel like my soul gets rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And then there's just nothing but a sense of freshness and balance that comes in. Yeah. Can you speak a little bit to if I'm right and how does nature serve your clients, or does that fit into your PhD theory?
Yeah. Absolutely. So it fits in completely. And I actually, you know, I use nature or connecting with nature almost as a prescription to, you know, as part of the recovery process. And you know, as simple as like step outside of the building that you work in all day long and just put your sun up to the sky, not your sun up to the, your face up to the sky. That makes more sense. But
you can put your sun up there too.
You can put your sun up there too. I know. Humor is also an important part of the recovery process. So laughter is great. For me, it's definitely a connection with water. And so, you know, being in a body of water, you know, dipping my feet into, you know, into water at the beach or something to that effect, I'm able to almost kind of fake myself into that feeling by using my hammock in my backyard. So still being out in the sun and then allowing the hammock to just kind of rock as though the ebb and flow of a wave is one way that I'm able to find that intentional space, even if I can't get to a body of water in that moment. So yeah, absolutely. I think nature and being in nature, even just for a few minutes, is incredibly important to our recovery.
You know, I'm a word nerd, and well, maybe you don't know that, but you do know now. I was a park ranger for 23 years, and we always used to kind of joke about how when people would come to the park, we had to be aware of the fact that they were under the influence. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean of alcohol and drugs, but they're under the influence of the drive, the stress, how the kids were acting in the car, what their expectations are. You know, maybe they wanted a campsite by the river and that one's not available. Mm-hmm. And now they get the only one left next to the dumpster or the shower building. And so when we were training our staff, if we could train our staff to realize that everybody is coming to our campground or our park to recreate, to literally recreate themselves and their experience in the short period of time that they have on their weekend. It's our job as park rangers and park ranger staff to receive them as they are and then to provide an experience for them that allows them to transform into what they need to be, or at least a piece of what they need to be, in order to go back into their busy lives and busy workplaces. And so literally, if you think about that concept, that even just taking a moment and stepping outside of your cubicle or outside of your kid's playroom or outside of your house and just closing your eyes. And as you said, just breathing some space and energy in, it's very hard for the body to sustain that stress of the burnout. Right. Yeah, and that's critical. Absolutely. Even if we don't make the mental shift right away, just giving the body a break speaks to some backing away. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
When we think about in general in that stress response and in those kinds of things, when we allow the body to slow down, then our brain and our cognitive thinking and like our frontal lobe is able to turn back on. And so we're able to then make choices, make decisions, you know, have our thought process come back to us. So often when people step out in nature, they step out and, or they even take a few deep breaths, they step away from their work, they find that, you know, their thought process come back to them. Their productivity is almost switches back on. And that's because you simply gave your body the space to just and release the stress. And so really anything that folks can do that, and say you can't get outside, there are some ways to ground yourself in those moments. And my favorite grounding activity is the 5-4-3-2-1 method.
Let's take our listeners through that real quick.
Yeah. So it is utilizing all five of your senses, and you can do it any space that you're in. You take a deep breath and then counting backwards from five. Yeah. That. And then we will name five things we can see, four things we can hear, three things we can touch, two things we can smell, and one thing we can taste. Mm. And you can continue to go through kind of the naming cycle as you start to feel your heart rate slow, your breathing become a little less labored, and ease into that. And then you end with another deep breath. And generally you feel pretty grounded into that present moment, because what that does is it stops your thought process from thinking about what I need to do in the future, what I, you know, something that happened in the past that is bothering me. And you have to be present in order to name the things around you to connect to your senses.
I love that. And it's funny this, you said, think of the, you know, I just thought of the first thing that popped in my head when you said name one thing you taste, and for some reason dill pickles popped in my head. And what I realized is that I just started salivating. So it's like, literally kind of funny that when the mind just attaches itself to an mm-hmm. image, the body is going to respond.
Yeah.
Like now I want to think of chocolate chip cookies so that the salivation stops and I don't drool myself while we're talking. But I think that's really powerful to 5-4-3-2-1, naming five things we can see. And people could even look around their environment and then close their eyes and do a recall factor.
Absolutely.
So that there's a different memory part of the brain being mm-hmm. utilized, right? Because now we're firing two different parts of the brain in two different ways, but not in that stress response way.
Yeah.
Five things you can see, four things you can hear, three things you can touch, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste. Mm-hmm. And all of this is actually very applicable in nature. And the only thing I would say is don't put anything in your mouth in nature that you don't know what it is.
Something name a taste.
Right? pull your nature bar out of your backpack or
take a drink of water and just feel the coolness on your tongue.
Exactly. Now there are some things that you can taste in nature, but again, just for legality reasons, I'm not going to advise anybody to put anything in their mouth. But nature is a really great place to take in those first four senses for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, choices, we mentioned that before, choices on my wall. You and I could have talked for like 2 hours about choice when we were off air. Let's bring that conversation in a little bit. How can we've talked a little bit about choosing to slow down, choosing to engage our senses. How can we make some choices before we get to the burnout place? A lot of these are suggestions. Once we hit the wall, mm-hmm. once we know we're there, we can back off of it. But in the ideal world, we want to coach people and teach people how they can prevent themselves from getting there in the first place. So tie choice and tie courage into that for me.
Yeah. So I think one thing that is really important is, and that I think everyone should do, is implement a daily recovery practice. And I really, for me, I think a morning routine of some kind is a really good place to start with that. So making the choice to start your morning in a particular way each and every day. And these can be simple ads, right? So one of the things that I have and that I actually started this year is that I put a post-it note up on my mirror that talks about how it has some affirmations on how I want to how I'm going to choose and have the courage in my day. So it starts with, I will be joyful. I will be honest. I will be respectful of every living thing. I will live with an attitude of gratitude. And I read this post-it note over and over while I brush my teeth.
Nice.
And so it is a small action that takes place during something I'm already doing. So I'm not adding anything to my day. I'm simply shifting my mindset and choosing to set and frame my day while I brush my teeth every morning.
You know, in my mind, I think that's important, establishing a daily recovery practice. My brain goes to analogies and metaphors, and you know, the Olympics are coming on, right?
Yeah.
And we know athletes train hard. We know that during and after their training sessions, they have recovery. They have recovery foods, fuels, beverages, masseuses. Just before that, I'm a big Tour de France fan. And so, you know, you think about somebody riding their bike up a mountain twice, you know, for 250 miles or kilometers or whatever. And those guys have a very specific recovery routine. They ride the bike after they've ridden the bike. They do a warm down. They take on different electrolytes, different fluids, and things to feed their body. So I find it interesting that why do we not consciously try to do that as human beings in a normal everyday world? I mean, why do we leave recovery and preventative maintenance? Why do we leave recovery to elite athletes? And why do we leave maintenance to like our mechanics?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned to you another analogy is that most people who drive a car regularly do preventative maintenance. They do the oil change. They make sure there's fluids in their car.
Yeah.
They make sure the battery works. They make sure the tires are good and rotating. So maybe you can answer this. Why do we let the most important machine, why do we let it go and not do preventative maintenance and not do recovery like other professions do?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of that with, you know, with our human nature and what we are is that we get caught up in kind of the hustle of life. Right. And I think it's, and specifically the thought that in order to be viewed as productive and in that sense, valuable as a worker, as someone in that aspect, we think that, you know, we've tricked ourselves into the thought that we need to look constantly busy. Like we must be busy all the time, right? Because the most productive people, the most successful people are always doing something. And what we forget to include as part of that always doing something is that, you know, prevention time and, you know, rituals and routines of helping, you know, of recovering throughout the day or helping you amp up for your day or prepare for your day are actually really productive activities. They are intentional, they are needed. And we have almost, you know, change that, you know, when we think about self-care, everyone's like, oh, well, that's when I can take a bubble bath and go get a massage. No, like it's a part of it's your nightly routine and how you unwind from the day. It's the routine you have when you close up your workspace for the end of the day and, you know, turn off everything. And that's the point where you're like, okay, I'm not answering email until the next, you know, until 8 a.m. in the morning and setting those boundaries for ourselves. So I think changing our thought process in regard to self-care in thinking of it as self-maintenance, as preventative care. And we do that for our physical body. You know, most of us will do our annual physical or, you know, do the cancer screenings as a doctor has asked us to and those kinds of things. But we don't always do that for like our mental capacity, you know, maybe our spiritual connections, those other areas of wellness. And so one of the things that I really like to recommend people do is that they continue to do kind of just a wellness check in all the areas of wellness in their life, right? And that they do that, you know, on some kind of regular frequency. I generally do it about once a month in just checking in, like, how's my financial wellness? How's my spiritual wellness? What does my social wellness look like? How am I connecting with other people? How am I doing emotionally? What does my intellectual wellness look like? So how am I learning and growing and continuing to develop my mind? And then how am I doing with my physical wellness? Have I fallen off the rails with how I normally eat? Am I still moving my body in the way that I need to feel my healthiest self? So really thinking about all those pieces. And I do think about it in kind of a wheel and that maintenance piece, right? And it's not to do all areas 100% because you like that's not mathematically available to you, but to do them all evenly so that you have a nice rounded wheel and you're not trying to move along on a flat tire.
Right. You know, I'm hearing you say, you know, a rounded wheel and looking at all aspects. You know, if anybody has a designated religion or faith, we tend to go to our places of worship once a week. Yeah. That's a way to check in. Mm-hmm. I like how you say checking in on all the other places as well, because the one layer of burnout can start to bleed into another layer. And choice comes in for me where you don't have to make a 360-degree change. If you just said, so if you just said, I'm going to make one thing different today, or I'm going to try to make today a little bit better than yesterday, I think we have the power of choice available to us. And we tend to not think that we do. I also liked how you said that you do your routine, your prevention routine in the morning. I think a lot of people, they get through their whole entire day, and this is not a bad place to start. Like before you go to bed, what are some recovery techniques you can put in? But why would we wait until the end of the day to try to fix the aggregated burnout or burn moments that might have shown up, rather than kind of putting it in strategically throughout the day, taking a breath, having water instead of Coke, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then the other thing I like that you're saying that, and I'm kind of thinking in my head, is that you didn't say this, but I heard it. So I'll give you credit for it. I think people should be honest with not just say, where am I at? Oh, I'm good. But I think they should really put in a 1-3 scale or 1-5 scale and say, okay, and on each of these components in the wheel, am I at a 3 today or am I at a 5? Or on a scale of 1-10? Because I think when we're honest with ourselves and we rank something or we give it a number or we weight it some way, if you have three things like, my finances are kind of screwy and my faith is kind of screwy and my freedom is kind of screwy, then you can say which of these three is most important for me to attend to today, right now, this moment. But I think if we stay in the vague world with like, I'm good. I think we have a tendency, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think we have a tendency to sort of whitewash it and make ourselves feel like it's okay. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or I'm not as bad as that. Therefore, I don't have to do the work. And I think the challenge is, let's be honest, give yourself a scale, a number, a weighting system, prioritize it, and then you can actually maybe even chart it out and say, last week I was at a 3 with this, and 2 weeks from now, I hope to be at a 3.4. Would you agree?
And absolutely. And I actually, utilize an assessment that is charted like that. You actually like fill in your wheel, and you color in where you're at in each aspect. And, you know, according to a bunch of different questions. And I think that scaling it out is a great way to do that. And it does, it keeps us from, you know, one using I'm good, which is not actually a feeling word. So it's not the best definer of like, how are you feeling?
So I know you have a lot of tools, techniques, a lot of exercises that people can find you at. You also have next Friday, you have a pay as you can opportunity for all of our listeners. Can you speak to that? Jacob's going to put the website up for people to see, but talk a little bit about that. And then let's let people know how they can work with you and get to connect with you.
Yeah, awesome. So I would love for everyone to sign up for this workshop that I am offering. It's called Feeling Crispy, Rekindling Your Joy and Passion. And we are going to spend 90 minutes together really digging into what is burnout? What does that look like for you? What are named burned events that you can name? What does your wellness look like? It will actually provide the assessment that I use as part of the workbook for that. And then we're going to work together to implement a recovery plan. So what does your own unique recovery formula look like? And how do we implement that? And so there's the opportunity to pay for the 90-minute workshop, and it's a pay what you can workshop. So Yeah. So it's open to everyone. And then there's an opportunity to have a special hour long session with me to really dig into your plan for $25. Wow. And we can continue to work together in that aspect. That's a limited opportunity. So you want to make sure if you're interested in that to sign up as soon as you sign up for the workshop.
Right. Let's just say the website, it's https://bit.ly/capital feeling crisp. So F, C, and R are all capitalized, feeling crispy rekindle. And we'll have the link at the end of the show on my website as well as your website. Awesome. This has been awesome. I hope we can have another conversation again. Let people know, tell people when your brand new show is. And how they can connect with you on your website or how they can get a hold of you to manage their own burnout.
Yes. So the new show, so from Burnout to Recovery with Dr. Kate, is every second and fourth Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Would love to have you join me there. I will have guests joining me to talk about their burnout recovery. And we will always end the show with our own recovery moment. And if you would like to learn a little more about me or connect with me, please visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.
Awesome. Dr. Kate, thank you for being with us. And people can tune into the Diane McClay Show to learn more about how to empower their life through choice and through courage right after the Dr. Kate Show. Dr. Kate's at 1 p.m. Pacific and my show's at 1:30 Pacific. And always, we are here for you. We are learning with you. We are growing with you. And our goal is to support you. I'm old school. If you liked what you heard, send me a text with burnout. Put burnout in the text and text me something about what you liked about the show or what you'd like to learn at 503-317-8072. You can always find me at dianemcclay.com. And stay tuned for my other show, The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, which is on the first and third Fridays of the month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group at 12:30. I'm Diane McClay, reminding you to empower your life and empower your choice.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.